Welcome to Who's Going to Win, Week 7 of the high school football season. Jim Field joined by Doug Leonard, Chris Parks, Matt Mullinex. We'll tell you what we did last week, and we'll take a look at 8 high school football games from around the area coming up here tonight in just a little bit. First of all, we want to remind you that our broadcast each week is brought to you by Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of 2 full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
All right, back on Who's Going to Win, let's get right after it here. Last week, Chris went 6-2. Doug and I each went 5-3. Matt was 4-4. Here's how we did it. It was Cam beating Lamoni 49-24. We all picked that one correctly. And we were all wrong on the second one. We all took Bedford to beat Exira EHK, and it was the Spartans winning 34-22. AHS T-Top Riverside 33-0 in our broadcast game last week. That was a winner for everyone but Matt, who was out on a limb. It was Underwood over Audubon 35-14. We were all correct there. We split up the Logan Magnolia Tri-Center game. It was Loma winning 53-15, and it was Chris and I picking Logan Magnolia for the win there. St. Albert beat Griswold 56-21. We all guessed that right. Carroll rallied late to beat Lewis Central 35-34, a late touchdown and a 2-point conversion, and they come back to win that ball game. That was a winner for everybody but me. And then Harlan beat Atlantic 38-28. We all got that one wrong. So here are the standings now for the year after last week's games. It's 37-11 now for Chris. He's in first. I'm in second at 32-16. And then Doug and Matt are 28-20. And gentlemen, I'm really nervous because I'm closer to you guys than I am to Chris.
It's good news for me.
We got 4 weeks to rally.
Yeah.
4 weeks to rally. Okay.
It's about time for Chris to start making idiotic picks.
His fault.
Well, maybe that'll start this week. Let's just see. We have 8 games on our high school football pick'em list each week, and that's exactly what we do. We guess who's going to win, hence the title of the program. So let's get started here. I did throw 1 8-man game on here this week. We'll take a quick glance at it. It seems like every week I look at Chris to go first. You want to go first, Doug?
Yeah, well, make him go last.
We always do that because he's always in front. So, all right, Doug says he wants to break that tie between Matt and Doug right away. So, go ahead. What do you got?
Well.
Oh, by the way, it's Adair Casey at Lennox, by the way. We should probably introduce the ball game here. Adair Casey 4-2, 4-0 in their district, while Lennox 3-3 overall, but 3-1 in the district. So, still an important district game. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, record-wise, it looks like it's going to be a good ball game. I've been really impressed with how Adair Casey's been playing this year. I think they might have started off, 0-2, lost the first couple games maybe, but they've been on a roll since then and put up some impressive wins. And even though they're going on the road, I'm going to take them to be victorious.
Okay, that's 1 for Adair Casey. I'm going to make that 2. That's just too much for Adair Casey. Lennox is another one of those teams that doesn't really have any stars on the ball club. They do get some performance from a lot of different guys, but just not enough offense, I don't believe. The combination out of that backfield, was it Plowman and Palmer out of the backfield for Adair Casey? I just don't know how in the world Lennox is going to be able to deal with that. Quite frankly, it's kind of like getting some of their own medicine, because they're going to get out of the backfield this week from Adair Casey what they've been doing to other teams for such a long time with a strong ground game. So I like Adair Casey here on the road. Matt?
I'm going to keep it going with the Bombers, and I'm going to take the Bombers on the road as well.
Okay, that's 3. Chris?
I'm going to go ahead and make it 4. I think they're, like you said, just too tough. They have a few more weapons than Lennox does, and Lennox has kind of struggled, especially early on in the season here, and Adair Casey, I think, has really started to build a lot more confidence here these past few games. So I'll take the Bombers.
Okay, so straight across the board, everybody likes Adair Casey to beat Lennox here in this first contest. It's a big game for Adair Casey as they try to stay right on top of this district. It's a pretty competitive district, actually, with Cam and Murray and Lennox and some of those teams that are pretty well bunched together. There isn't that one team that stands out like some others do. Well, let's move on here. Game two. Here's a Class A game for you. This is quite some district where you only have five teams in the district. Four of them are going to actually make the playoffs. So it's kind of like musical chairs is what it amounts to. Nobody wants to be the last one standing when the music stops. Riverside is on the road at Corning in this one here this week. Normally you'd look at a game between a team that's 1-6 versus another team that's 1-5 and think, why in the world do we have this on the schedule? Well, because they're both very much in the playoff hunt yet with 3 weeks left. Riverside 0-2, Corning 0-1 in district play so far, and they both desperately need this win. This could be the playoff clinching victory here this week, depending upon how that district ends up turning out. Riverside had a chance to watch them last week. I think they have a pretty good combination. They ran into a pretty good defensive buzzsaw last week in AHST, but you can see the talent that they have with Devin Moore and Clay Harris, if they can get the two of them moving. Corning, I just don't believe, has enough star power on that team. Again, they've got a few guys that'll do a few things, but I just don't think they have enough weapons and certainly not enough of that level of talented players to be able to handle guys like Moore and Harris. I like Riverside on the road to pick up the win here in this one. Matt, what do you like?
Well, I think, so far Riverside, from some of the things I've seen, they haven't been able to move the ball as well as Corning has. So with that said, Corning's at home. They have played a pretty decent schedule, hung in there with some teams. So I'm going to pick Corning.
Okay.
The Red Raiders.
Got to shake it up sooner or later. That's one of each. Chris, what do you like?
Yeah, I did get a chance to watch Riverside last week. And like you said, I think they have a little bit of talent out there on the field, especially with Devin Moore kind of being able to run the show. He's got some pretty good wheels to be able to escape things, which unfortunately had to do quite a bit last week against AHST. I just think they're missing a real key player, Ricky Williams, one of their big guys that's out for the season. And I think that Corning is just one of those teams that's got a little bit more balance. It looks like over the season they've been able to pass and to run the ball a little bit more consistently and do both things a little bit better. And they both played AHST recently. Corning was able to put some points up on the board against them, so I'm going to go ahead and take Corning at home as well.
Okay, two for Corning, one for Riverside. Doug, what do you like?
Ooh, I was caught off guard there. I was anticipating you were going to take Corning, Chris. Riverside. So I'm going to take Riverside because I got to gain some ground on you, and for no other reason than that.
Okay. Nothing like digging that hole a little deeper.
Right.
All right, we'll dig it together. Riverside for Doug and I, and Corning for Matt and Chris. We're splitting it up here. We're going to take a short break, and we've got more of our Pick'em Show coming up for you right after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
All right, back on Who's Going to Win. Let's take a look at our third game on the list here as we restart again. It's Exira EHK on the road at AHST, playing over in Avoca here tonight. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I was very impressed with EHK Exira. Their victory over Bedford last week, and so with that said, I'm going to jump on their bandwagon, and I like how their young kids have really stepped up here as the season's gone on, and that week off probably really helped them prepare. And so I'm going to go with the Spartans on the road at the Vikings.
Okay, that's one. Chris, what do you like?
Well, as Jim informed me earlier here today, that game was maybe a little bit, you know, not quite as impressive as it looked on paper with the Morris kid going down early in that game. Had 7 carries for 7 yards, but still, I think Bedford's still a pretty good team overall. I mean, it's not just a one-man show, and I'm sure that really did throw off their game plan quite a bit with not having him in there. But I think Xyrie HK's got a nice combination in the backfield going on with some young talent, with Nick Peppers doing a lot of the load with carrying the football, and Spencer Smith's having a good year running the ball as well. AHST, I think offensively they're a little bit more one-dimensional. Jake Larson's a good running back and a good, strong, big kid, and he seems to be gaining some confidence and running really well. But I think that Xyrie EHK has got a little bit more going for him, so I'm going to go ahead and take the Spartans here, even though it's on the road.
Okay, that's two for Xyrie EHK. Doug?
Yeah, that was the game last week, looking through the scores the next day on Saturday morning that really jumped off the page was that victory for EHK against Bedford. So I was impressed by that. You know, I think Coach Peterson will have the guys ready to go, and they'll keep on that winning tradition. So I'm going to go with them.
Okay. Well, I just don't know what to think about that game. With, like I said, Cody Morris, one of the best runners in the state. So when you take him out of the picture right away, that changes the whole scheme of the game. Not to take anything away from Xyrie EHK with that win, but it's a whole different kind of win when you don't have to worry about that kind of a weapon the rest of the ball game. I had a chance to watch AHST last week, and Riverside. I realize Riverside's probably not the greatest opponent they're going to play this year, but I was really impressed with their aggressiveness on defense. They just kept pounding Jake Larson, their big fullback, straight up the middle, and that's worked well for them the last couple of weeks. 233 yards a couple of weeks ago, 179 yards last week. I think that probably Corey Faust wishes he'd have maybe made the quarterback change earlier in the season. Kyle Bauerkemper was quarterbacking and doing an adequate job, but ever since he's moved Josh Bryant back into the quarterback spot, that's really changed their offense. He's got a little bit better ability to throw the ball downfield. He runs the offense, I think, a little bit more aggressively, and he's bigger. He's a bigger kid. He can hold the ball back down, take off, and run once in a while, too, and throws well enough. I just got a hunch, and I got to gain some ground on Chris, too. I'm going to take AHST in this one just because of their size and, like I said, their aggressiveness on defense. AHST is going to keep pounding Larson up the middle. We'll see how that plays out here tonight. But I'm going to try the upset. I'll go out on a limb with AHST here. St. Albert on the road at Trainer. I don't know why I put St. Albert versus anybody on the list anymore, because it seems kind of easy anymore. But, yeah, Trainer has played well at home against a few pretty good teams here this year. Chris, what do you think is going to happen?
I'm going to go with the Falcons here on the road. Until someone proves it, you know, you can't really go against the kind of the monster that St. Albert's created with a very, very good football team. Trainer, like you said, I think they'll make it a game for a while. They definitely got a decent ball club, and they've had some good games here through the season, but too much going on at St. Albert. I'm going to take the Falcons.
Could have got a Falcon. All right, Doug, what do you think?
Well, I got to agree with Chris. You know, they're whoever St. Albert is going to face, they're going to probably fit, you know, they're going to come out and be inspired, whoever's across the field from them, across the line of scrimmage from them. But I just think St. Albert's too balanced and too talented, and they're going to win.
Okay. I don't see any reason to argue with either one of you guys. I think I'm going to stay there, too. St. Albert, even on the road. I do like Trainer to give them a pretty decent fight. I don't know if it'll last all four quarters or not, but they've put together some pretty good wins. They've also disappeared a few times in ball games, too, and I'm not sure which is going to show up tonight. St. Albert, on the other hand, very consistent and very strong. I stay with the Falcons, too. Matt?
Yeah, you guys have said it all, so I'll just go with St. Albert as well. Like you said, they don't make the mistakes that cost them in close ball games, big games like this. So, you know, look for them to continue on with those same traits. So,
how about that surprise last week, though? We got a couple of scores, and it was 13-0 Griswold at the beginning of that game, but St. Albert decided they were going to get things together and turned out a little differently at the end.
Yeah, there's just so much talent there. I just don't think they panic. I mean, they get down 13-0 right away to Griswold, and then immediately they run the kickoff back for a touchdown. It's 13-7. And, well, that 13-0. Obviously, didn't last very long last week in a 56-21 win. So, yeah, there are a lot of weapons there. And they just play so well. Everybody likes St. Albert. Why not? Let's go to the game number five on our list here. Logan Magnolia is at home. We're going to stay in that same Class 1A district. Logan Magnolia hosting Underwood. Matt seemed to talk last week like it was a surprise that Logan Magnolia was undefeated at that point of the season. And, well, maybe Tri-Center give him a run. Not much of a run last week at all. Logan Magnolia put it together again.
I should have known better than to listen to Coach Mullinex on that one. He was picking with his heart and not his head. And I kind of followed him there. So
he kind of sucked you in on
he
that
He did.
One.
He did. But I'm not I don't think they're going to lose this week, so I'm going to take Loma at home. Be a fun matchup at the end of the year against St. Albert.
You know, Underwood's got to be wondering what they did wrong. You know, they run this death run at the beginning of their district schedule. I mean, there aren't many easy district games anyway. And, you know, we looked at the beginning of the year, Underwood, kind of one of those middle-of-the-road teams. You know, them, Audubon, Griswold, you know, they might be fighting for a spot here or there, but... Boy, they've just had a terrible run here, and they're looking forward to the last couple of weeks of the season to get out in some games where they know they can be competitive. Not necessarily this week, not at Logan Magnolia. If it were turned around elsewhere, I might give a sniff of a chance to Underwood to make a nice ball game out of it, but it's you know, Logan Magnolia is just playing just too well right now, and especially at home. So they're still looking at that last game of the year matchup against St. Albert, hoping that they're still right there, and I think they will be after tonight. So we'll go with the Panthers. Matt?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Loma as well, I guess, this week. So I guess they're at home. Underwood's probably not going to be too much of a match for them. So for 1 week here, we'll pick Loma.
Okay.
Blind squirrel gets an acorn every
there
once in a while.
Tired of being wrong, huh? All right, Chris, what do you got?
I think he's hinting towards something down the road here, but no, I'm going to make it a clean sweep here. Yeah, they're a very, very tough team. Started off the season unbelievably strong, and like you said, Underwood's had a rough go of it, and it just doesn't get any better for him here this week.
Okay, well, that's straight across the board. Shocker there with Logan Magnolia over Underwood. Game six, we're going to stay in that same district again. Griswold up the road, up Highway 71 here tonight. They'll be playing the Wheelers up at Chiz Jones Field. 3-3 for the Tigers, 1-3 in the district, 2-4 for Audubon, also 1-3 in district play coming into tonight's action. Haven't had a chance to see Griswold play. We'll have them next week against Logan Magnolia at home, but at Audubon tonight, boy, you know, Griswold's going to be at Audubon. They're going to be against Logan Magnolia next week at home. Then they've got Clarinda Academy to end the season. You know, the Logan Magnolia game, you know, tough, but it's at home. You got these other two games on the road, but both very winnable games. I just don't see any way that Griswold lets this one slip by. You know, Audubon has been up and down. Their numbers have been nice in their wins. Their numbers haven't been very good at all in some of their losses. Just 128 total yards last week in their loss to Underwood. I like Griswold going on the road. I think they're just going to use that ground game and keep pounding away and pick up the win tonight. Matt?
Yeah, with Griswold, you know, they did jump out to that 13-0 lead over St. Albert, you know, so they felt, you know, they had some things going for them. And then that's one of the notes that I've got written down, Audubon, you know, just struggling offensively. When they do come out, they just tend to, it's either there or it's not, and it just depends on the competition. So just not being able to consistent on offense, I'm going to go with Griswold. They know how to run that offense. They do it consistently week in and week out, and there's usually not too much of a down week. Even in some of their losses, they're still able to move the ball and put some points up on the board.
Okay. Defensively, though, boy, they had to be shell-shocked after last week. They say jumping out to that 13-0 lead and then ended up giving 56 points away like that. So you start to question yourself a little bit on defense. Chris, is there enough Audubon offense there to make a difference?
I really don't think so here in this one. I'm going to go ahead and stick with Griswold here. I think that they're playing, you know, fairly consistent ball over the season. Yeah, last week they're going to be unhappy about that. You know, they're going to go back to work and work hard this week and work on those things that they can improve on to get a win. And they, like you said, this is one they know that they can get. So I see them winning this one too.
Okay, that's three. Doug, what do you have?
Well, we'll make it a sweep because, you know, Griswold sitting in fourth place now in their district, I think. And, you know, they look at this game as one that they really, you know, need to win and should win. And that Clarinda Academy game, probably same thing. And, you know, if they drop one of those two games, you know, and they're going to have a tough game against Loma, so they can't afford to do that. So they got to be serious, and Tigers will we'll win this one.
Okay, that's a sweep. Everybody likes Griswold over Audubon here tonight. Two games left to take a look at, both 3A matchups. We'll do that right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Anishina Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff at the Anishina Valley Credit Union. The Anishina Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Anishina Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
All right, back here on Who's Going to Win. Two games left to take a look at. It's Creston versus Carroll. This is at Carroll tonight. A couple of teams battling for the, bragging rights right now, battling for first place in the district. They're both 4-0 in district play coming in. And Matt, I believe, gets first crack at this one.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Boy, yeah. But this is the probably the game of the week in this area. Most definitely, you've got Creston and Carroll. Both teams led by the quarterbacks. They do a lot for each of their teams. Luke Netzel, he's going to do a little bit of mixture there as far as running the ball and throwing the ball. Doesn't complete a lot of his passes, but he's still pretty efficient with it. He only has 2 interceptions, 11 touchdowns on the year, whereas Casper Bauer has 4 interceptions and 12 touchdowns. And he does it predominantly through the air. And like I said, Netzel, he's going to run the ball. He has just shy of 500 yards rushing. So, total yards, these two quarterbacks are very close similarities. I was pretty impressed with Creston when they came to town here a few weeks ago. They took some of the lessons they learned from last year, took some of their big guys, their athletic guys, and actually moved them to the line. They've seen some success with that. I know over the past few weeks, they've been looking towards this Carroll game. They've sent their scouts out numerous weeks and just really have hit hard on Carroll. So I know they're going to be prepared for this game. The one thing is just a long drive up to Carroll from Creston. I don't know. Maybe Carroll falter last week. I'll go with Creston.
Okay, going to take the, the minor upset.
Yeah.
Okay, one for Creston. Chris?
Yeah, this is a fun game to look at. I think you got two teams that are, kind of fighting to maybe dub themselves, supreme at the top of the district, so to speak, here in this one. And both teams have had a lot of success here so far this season. I think they both feel like they can continue to have a good season here the rest of the way out. Creston... they've talked about how they've really meld together as a team as the season's gone along, so they definitely have that going in their favor. And Carroll, they've been squeaking a lot of close ones out too, but at the same time they're getting it done. So they're playing at home. I've been impressed with the way that they played all season long. They've been fairly consistent at least in doing the things that they do well on offense. And I think Creston maybe struggles a little bit more with a team that throws the ball more than they do with the run. So I'm going to go ahead and take Carroll at home here.
Okay. That's one of each. Doug?
Well, it's a tough one to call. Creston's just got the lone loss to Norwalk earlier in the year, but they're 5-1, so they're a good squad. So they're just one game away from having a perfect record as well. Carroll is look at some of the games that they played. They've given up a few points. They haven't exactly shut people down on defense the whole time. And Creston, I don't know. They look good against Atlantic, and I think I'm going to take the road team. I'm going to take Creston Panthers on the road.
Okay, that's two for Creston, one for Carroll. Like Matt was saying too, Neitzel kid from Creston. He's primarily a runner. He'll throw, and he has a lot of success when he throws, largely because they're expecting him to run. On the other side, Casper Bauer, primarily a thrower, But he's had some success running the football, too. Had 9 carries, 51 yards, and a touchdown last week against Lewis Central on the ground, in addition to his 17 of 28 for 307 and 3 touchdowns through the air. So, you know, it's a pretty good battle between two quarterbacks who can get it done really either way they need to. You know, boy, Creston's been right there so many times here this year, and I just don't think on the road. I'm going with Carroll here in this one. I just don't. You know, and Carroll, this will be the end of Carroll's, what they consider to be the tougher part of their schedule. They do have Atlantic coming up yet, too. But whether or not that game means a whole lot depends largely on tonight's action. You know, they've already beaten Harlan. They've beaten Lewis Central. So if they can run the gamut and get Creston, too, then they can pretty much, well, they can sit back and kind of coast the rest of the way and watch everybody else fight it out for the other spots. I like Carroll at home. If this were on the road, I might change my mind, but I like Carroll at home on this one. So we got 2-2 here. Let's go to our last game. Atlantic is on the road at Lewis Central. It's obviously a key game because this is for a playoff spot. The loser will probably not get one, and the winner probably will. They're battling for that fourth spot right now. Chris, how do you see this one playing out?
Well, this should be another very good game here coming up tonight. Look forward to seeing how it plays out. And both teams, I think, maybe at different points, I suppose, in their season, but I think they've kind of felt some of the same disappointments throughout the year. They've been real close in games, but haven't been able to pull off wins and you know, kind of get to that upper echelon. Of course, Lewis Central, they've played a host of tough teams here so far this year that really has hurt them as well. Got a lot of talent there at the quarterback spot, and a kid that they move around and play at every position on the field, so that's always tough to defend for anybody. You know, with Atlantic, I think they're, you know, still kind of getting close to taking that next step, but they just haven't been able to get there. You know, I've picked them recently, and they haven't been able to win, so I guess I'm going to go with reverse logic here, and I'm going to take Lewis Central at home and hope that Atlantic proves me wrong.
Okay, that's one. Doug?
Well, good for you, Chris, because I'm not going to take them. I'm going to take Atlantic.
The easy way out.
There you go. There you go. You know, I was at the Harlan game and was impressed by some of the things that Atlantic did. You know, it may not be one of Harlan's toughest squads this year, you know, their most talented teams this year. But, you know, Atlantic didn't fold. They kept fighting back. And, you know, they were in that game until the very end. And, you know, I was impressed by that. And, you know, I know Lewis Central, I mean, they look at the schedule. You talk about highs and lows of schedules. They've got Atlantic this week and then Red Oak and Winterset the following 2 weeks. So they probably view these as maybe some of their easier games where they can make up for some of the tougher games they had at the beginning of the year. But I think the Trojans can win this one. It's going to be tough going on the road, but I'll take Atlantic.
Okay, that's one of each. You know, I guess I look at it almost as a card game. Okay, I'll see your Alex Reed, and I'll raise you Dvorak, Bloom, and Stork. Because that's kind of the way I look at it. You look at last week's game, Reed, the quarterback, they moved him back into quarterback again, where he was earlier this year. 23 carries, 230 yards, 3 touchdowns. Pretty easy to figure that one out. 153 yards passing and 2 touchdowns. I mean, the kid does a lot. I discount the fact that Lewis Central is physically bigger than Atlantic because everybody is, and I think they're used to that by now. So I guess to me it boils down to who can get the job done. But you take a look last week against Harlan, Dvorak, Bloom, and Stork, the three running backs combined for 35 carries, 242 yards, 6.9 a carry. You can't sneeze at that either. It's always a problem for me putting all your eggs in that one basket, and I kind of like Atlantic's athletes this week to outdo Lewis Central's athlete. And I hope that's the way it turns out. So I'm going to go with Atlantic. Matt?
Yeah, I think that's a good theme there, Jim, is that, you know, they do rely on him a lot. And this late in the season, it's a lot of wear and tear on an individual. And so we'll see how he responds. But, you know, Atlantic, they've taken their fair share of tough ball games there, and they've been in it. And you know, just a few tweaks here or there is a matter of them, you know, winning a couple of those ball games. So, you know, I think they've got a pretty good defense that can stop the running game against teams, just shoring up the passing game there. So I think Lewis Central, you know, they kind of play into Atlantic's defense there. So I think they're going to come up with some stops. And offensively, of course, they've shown they can definitely move the ball. Just a matter of connecting on a few passes early on and getting out to a quick start. So I'm going to go with Atlantic on the road.
Okay, very good. So it's 3 Atlantic and Chris out there with Lewis Central here this week. Interesting matchup. Two teams that are very similar in what they've gone through this year. Been very close to winning some of these big games and just haven't gotten over the hump quite yet. So we'll see how it goes tonight. Gentlemen, gentlemen, thank you very much. Matt Mullenix, Chris Parks, Doug Leonard, I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us this week. We've got football coming up for you. Atlantic and Lewis Central comes your way in just a few moments here on KJAN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.